While they're going out, why don't you go ahead and pull out your message notes? They say following your heart. They say following your heart on them. I guess half the side was kids, because it's totally empty. What happened? You know, if you want, we can be family. You can scoot in. You know, you're allowed to be next to somebody. Great. Well, why don't we begin God's Word? Let me start with praying. Let's pray. God, thank you for this wonderful time of being together to worship you, to grow in our faith, to know that you love us, to remember who you are. God, thank you for the chance just to be together and to meet new people, to meet good friends and old friends. Lord, we just pray that as we hear your word, that we will be transformed. God, I know that many of us come in having a very difficult week, and I pray that you would minister to all of us. Pray that we would leave here transformed people. And we pray all this in your wonderful name, God. Amen. Amen. Well, we're continuing our series called Discover Your Ministry. Discover your ministry. We talked about that if you want to grow closer to God, there's really three elements you need in your life. You need to celebrate and experience God on a regular basis. You need to connect with other people who are growing as you. You need to connect with other Christians, which is why we have growth groups. The third component is that you need to serve in your church. The people who grow the most are ones who serve in their church. It seems counterintuitive, but there's actually something about giving yourself to God's church that actually increases your ability to grow in Him. So we talked about this service, or this series is called Discover Your Ministry, because many questions are, where do I serve and how do I serve in my church? And so we spent the last 2 weeks, and we're going to spend this week and three more, talking about how you discover where you're supposed to serve. Well, part of how you figure that out is by understanding your shape, S-H-A-P-E, and each of those letters to stand for something. Last week, we talked about the S in shape. It stands for your spiritual gifts. That each of you, if you become a Christian, God has given you a specific spiritual gift to use. If you were not here last week, I highly recommend that you go onto our website, listen to the sermon, and download some of the things that came with the sermon, because we're going to be using those the rest of this series. Today, we're going to focus on the H. Stands for your heart, your passions, the things that make you tick. Next week, we'll talk about A, the abilities. What are you naturally good at? How did God naturally shape you? The P stands for your personality, and the E for your experiences, and we'll talk about those as we get closer to that. I did want to say that I heard this series preached by a man named Rick Warren and just thought this would be so good for our church, so a lot of the material I'm using comes directly from him on this. Now, there's a verse in your outline in Proverbs 27:19 that says this, "It is your own face that you see reflected in water, and it is your own self that you see in your heart." In other words, if you meet someone for the first time, you see their face, and you think you might know them. But if you really want to get to know them, get to know what they're passionate about. Get to know their feelings. Get to know their heart. It's your heart that really reveals who you are. How many of you have had some type of intense situation with a friend or a buddy, and for the first time you see their heart? Something comes up. You hear a passion, you hear emotion, and all of a sudden you begin to think, now I'm getting to know you. Now I'm getting to know you. It's your heart that reveals who you are. So when we're talking about your heart, we're talking about your interests, your passions, your desires, the emotional part of you, the part of you that feels, not your intellect, which is important, but right now we're focusing on the emotional component, your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions. What motivates you to get up in the morning? That's what we're going to be focusing on today. These are components of your heart. Your heart, the Bible says, affects everything about who you are. It affects all that you do. It affects what you feel. Now, there are some things that you're really, really interested in. And there are some things that you're really, really not interested in, right? For instance, how many of you love dogs? You guys are dog lovers. How many of you love cats? Yeah, now dog lovers and cat lovers tend not to go get along very well. But these are things that are wired in you. There are some things that really get you excited and some things that just bore you. There are some things that just you think about all the time and some things you have no interest in whatsoever. Those things are from God. Now, if we all liked the same things, we'd be in trouble because some things would never get done, right? So it's good that we have diversity in what we like and what we don't like. How many of you would say, I just love football? All right, raise your hand. Now, how come you guys are shy about that? I saw all these like half-handed things go up. Is there like embarrassment or shame about loving football? Now, when you love something, you don't need to be told what to do, right? You just do it. So you football lovers, raise your hand again. How many of you need to be told to turn on the TV to watch football? You don't need to be told to turn on because you love it. Now, how many of you have no interest in football whatsoever? How many of you are married to people who love football when you don't love football at all? Yeah, all right, so there's conflict in the family. The thing is, we love certain things and we don't love other things. There are things we could care less about. And where does that come from? It comes from God. God hardwired certain things in you just to love, to be passionate about. All your interests, your hobbies, your loves, the sports, the things you're interested in, all those things God put in you. Psalm 139 says this, "Oh yes, Lord, you shape me first inside and then out." In other words, those things come from God. He wired you. He knows how he made you. God made you to be you. He doesn't want you to be interested in stuff that he didn't put in you. He wants you to be interested in what he put in you. And he takes pleasure in watching you love what he put in you. He loves watching you enjoy the things that he put in you. Now, here's the thing. Last week, we talked about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are what are the things that God gave you. It's what you are, but your heart tells you where to apply what you are. For instance, you might be spiritually gifted in teaching, but you might have a heart for children. And so your heart tells you where to apply your gift of teaching. You can teach adults but be bored stiff, but when you start teaching children, you come alive. You may have a gift for hospitality, but you have a heart for people who are in the hospital. And so you love to use your gift of hospitality for those who are bedridden and can't get out of their beds. So it's important to know what you're passionate about. Now, here's what's important. This is in your outline. When I do what God shaped me to do, I enjoy it and I'm good at it. When I do what God shaped me to do, I enjoy it and I'm good at it. There are two things that help you determine what your heart is. What kind of heart God gave you. The first thing is that you really enjoy it. What do you really love doing? What are the things that just get you going? Those are the things that you get pleasure in and God wired you to enjoy to do. You get enjoyment, you get excitement, you get satisfaction. You are just delighted giving your time to these things. Now the thing is, I bet many of you are in a job right now where that's not true, right? Many of you are at works where you think, you know what, I don't enjoy it. I'm doing it just for the money. Some of you are in jobs where you just love it. You feel like, I'm wired for this. I'm doing what I'm meant to do. Rick Warren says, there are some jobs where you say, you know, Lord, good morning, because you're just so excited. And there are jobs where you're like, good Lord, it's morning, right? It's just like you can't stand your job and stuff like that. But the point is, you want to eventually put yourself in a position where you're doing what you're wired to love what you do. See, when you're doing something you love to do, no one needs to tell you to do it. You don't even have to get people complimenting you because the reward is that you're doing it. If you could, you would do it for no money because you love it that much. You just flat out love what you're doing. Last night, we went to a graduation party of college students I used to work with, and I talked to one of them, Heather, and I said, so Heather, what are you going to do when you graduate? She's like, I don't know, but I just love to write. She loves to write. I said, well, how do you know that you love to write? She's like, well, I'm almost done with my first book. She's like 23 years old. No one had to tell her to start writing. She just does it. And she's like, if I could get paid for this, I would love to do it. I talked to another friend, Denise. I'm like, what do you want to do? She's like, I don't know, but I love music. I'm like, really? What have you done with music? Well, I just cut out my first CD. Let me give you a website to where I put my recordings. She's only 22, 23, and she loves music. And no one needs to tell her what to do because she loves it and she just does it on her own. Well, today we're going to talk about following your heart. Because if you don't love what you're doing, you're not going to be good at it and you're not going to enjoy it. And so many of us have lived lives where we're not plugged into where we love what we're doing that we're just not getting the satisfaction that God would want for us. So we're going to talk about how to follow your heart because your heart says a lot about God's will for you and how he wants you to serve. The problem is that our hearts get beat up over time. We go through things that really diminish our hearts. We get bruised, we get bumped around, our hearts get broken. And so we're going to talk about what are the things that beat up your heart that stop you from living out your passions. We want to do what we want to do, love to do. So the other way, you know, I wanted to say, I forgot one thing. The other way you know what you're doing is that you really enjoy, you're really good at what you do. You're good at it, and that's a pretty good indicator that God shaped you for what you're doing. You're productive. You have a heart for it. When I was at a career crisis, I was about 25, 26, I had all these different career options, and I went out to Point Reyes. There's an area there that I love to hike, and I sat down on the cliff overlooking the ocean. I remember having this prayer moment. I said, God, I don't know what I want to do with my life. I'm just so confused. I have people telling me what I should do. I have parents telling me what I should do. I have friends telling me, but what, God, I don't know what, even what I want to do. And I really want God to tell me specifically what to do with my life. And I don't hear God all the time. And when I do hear him, it's not this audible voice, but it's a very strong impression. And I felt this strong impression, God saying, John, do what you love to do, and you will be a leader of others. Do what you love to do, and you will be a leader of others. And so God didn't tell me specifically what to do, but he opened me up to ask the question, what do I love to do? What do I love to do? And so the same is true for you. God wants you to do what you love to do so you can be effective at that. The word passion is another word for heart. When we talk about your heart and talk about how God shaped you, it's the passion he's given you. He's given you passion for certain things. Passionate people get things done. You know that if you have people working for you, you never have to micromanage someone if they're passionate about what they're doing. You know that? If they're passionate about it, you just let them go. They're going to be the ones that think about how to do things. They're the ones that are going to be creative. You're not going to accomplish much unless you're passionate about what you do. A passionate man named Moses, he was passionate about freeing his people from slavery, and he did it. A man named Paul in the Bible was passionate about making sure people knew about Jesus' good news. You couldn't stop him. He got beat up in prison, but he kept going. There's a man named Martin Luther, who in the 1500s, 1600s was passionate about reforming the European church, and most of us are beneficiaries of that right now. Martin Luther King was passionate for civil rights. You couldn't stop the man. You jail him, you do whatever you could. You bomb his home, you keep going, because he was passionate about that. You only influence things when you're passionate about them. So you were made to shine your passions, but as life goes on, we tend to get a little dimmer. Every person in this room, God has put a passion in you, but I would also venture to say that there are certain desires and certain dreams that have been dulled or dimmed because life has dealt you a hard blow. Most people never act on their passions or develop them like God would want them because they've been so burnt out. So we're going to talk about why we bury our dreams and how God doesn't want that. So there are five heart stoppers I want to talk about, and we're going to talk about what keeps me from following my heart. What keeps me from really living out my passions? Number one is this: disappointment. Disappointment. When you're hurt, you tend to pull back. You tend to make a shelf for yourself and say, I'm never going to let anyone else hurt me again. You give up on your dreams. You give up on your ambitions. You give up on your interests and your hobbies and your passions. You pull back and say, don't get hurt. That's going to be my number one rule of life. I'm just not going to get hurt again. The problem why that's a bad idea is you just stop living if you do that. You just start existing. You just start surviving. It's like you put yourself in a prison. The Bible says that when I have that an expectation and it doesn't turn out the way I want it to turn out, then you just get up and do it again. The Bible says this, hope deferred, that means whatever dream you have, an ambition or desire, makes the heart sick. If you put off a hope that God has put in you, it will sicken you. Disappointment will do that. And so the rule is, if you don't succeed, get up. You're normal. Try again. Almost no one succeeds on their first try. But we often just give up. Disappointment really discourages us. So when we allow disappointment to rule, it just really stops our heart and stops us living in our passions. Does that make sense? Disappointment. The second thing is fear. Fear often is a heart stopper, a passion stopper for us. It keeps you from being what God wants you to be. It's another prison we put ourselves in. Jesus told a story of the parable of three men who received money or talents to invest, to do good things with, to use for the master's purpose. The first person used his talents, multiplied them. When the master came back, he says, here you go, I made a lot of money for you. The second person did the same. But when the master came to the third person, the guy said, I didn't do anything what you gave me with what you gave me. He said, why not? And the guy says, I was afraid, so I buried what you gave me. So many of us have dreams that God has put in you, but we've been afraid to live them out. We thought, no, I never want to risk like that. No, I never want to step out that way. And you've buried the dream that God's given you, and you're not being the influence that he wants you to be. God says, don't live in fear. Don't live in fear. It's fear that's been attempting you to accomplish your goal, and it's a heart stopper. The third is this, guilt. Guilt. This is a really big one. Get this. You cannot be guilty and go after your dream at the same time. You cannot be guilty and go after your dream at the same time. Why? Because guilt takes an enormous amount of energy. Doesn't it? Guilt really wears us down. It's like carrying a big sack of dirt and trash and rocks on your bag, trying to live life, and you're going to get tired. You're going to get really tired because you're carrying around all the regrets of your past, all the mistakes of your past, all the guilt of your past, all the sin of your past, and you cannot be confident and guilty at the same time, right? There's just no way to live free and go do all the things that God wants you to do when you're carrying the guilt. Those who live in guilt lose confidence because they keep thinking, what if someone finds me out? What if someone knows who I really am? What if someone sees everything about me? And so you're always hiding, always carrying that burden. And what I want to say, church, is that God never intended you to live with guilt. That's not what he has for you. God sent Jesus to forgive you all. Because of your guilt, he wanted to take care of it. He nailed Jesus to the cross. Jesus was nailed to the cross so you can stop nailing yourself to the cross. He wants to give you that freedom so you never have to live in that guilt. He wants you to accept his forgiveness and know that guilt has been taken care of so you're not living with that bag on your back anymore. So you can throw it away and live freely and pursue your dreams. Guilt really weighs us down. That is the key part of the good news, that God has freed you from your guilt. Everything you've ever done, every wrong you've ever done, if you let him, he will forgive you. You need to accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers. Accept it and forgive yourself. And say that everything I've ever done wrong, Jesus, I give to you. And that will set your heart free. Amen? Disappointment, fear, guilt, all of these are heart stoppers. The fourth one's also a big one. It's bitterness. Bitterness. I speak from experience. I grew up a very bitter person. And bitterness will eat you alive. It will keep you so consumed with what people have done wrong to you that you can never look forward. The thing with bitterness, the thing with resentment, is you can't live in the present or the future because you're always focused on the past. You're always focused on who did what to you. And you're never free. There's no way you can pursue your dreams because you're always rehearsing over and over again what someone has done to you. You're always rehearsing over and over again what you wish you said to that person or what you want to say to that person. But it always keeps you in the past. It's like driving, looking through the rearview window the whole time. You just can't do it. You're going to crash. Wouldn't that be a scary thing to be driving in a car with someone who's always looking in the rearview window? You would never want to do that. It's scary. The person can never look forward. But that's what resentment and guilt does to you. It is a heart stopper. Now, here's the thing. You can't get on with your present or your future unless you let it go. You've got to let it go. They don't deserve it. The people who hurt you do not deserve it. I'm not saying they deserve it. But you don't deserve your forgiveness either that God gave you. And at some point for your own benefit, not even for their benefit, but for your benefit, you say, I'm going to let it go. I'm tired of living the past. I want to be free. God forgave you. They don't deserve it, but you need to let go. When you hold on, you just end up punishing yourself. And it's really, really dumb. And I say this as someone who lived in resentment for a long time. The person I hurt the most when I was holding on to resentment was myself, not the person who hurt me. And so do yourself a favor. Receive Jesus' forgiveness. Forgive yourself and forgive those who have hurt you because it's a heart stopper. Make sense? Okay, the last one, also a big one, is rejection. Rejection. This one may be the most painful of all, because anyone who's experienced rejection from a friend or a parent or a former spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you know that when you're rejected by them, it really hurts your heart. Rejection really hurts. It may be the most painful one of all. Now notice what the Bible says about each of these things. For fear, it says, anxiety weighs down the human heart. For guilt, it says, my sins have overtaken me. My guilt has overtaken me. I can't even see. I'm blinded by my guilt. My heart fails within me. For bitterness, it says, when my heart was embittered, I was pierced within. And I was senseless and ignorant. I couldn't even make sense of life. Well, for rejection, it says, their words, cut me down with sharpened tongues. They aim their bitter words like arrows straight at my heart. Here's how rejection works. Some of you, when you were growing up, had people say things to you, gave you messages, things like, you know, you're not worth anything. You're always stupid. You'll never amount to anything. Don't try that, you'll just mess it up again. You're not good at fill in the blank. You're uncoordinated, you're this, you're that, you're worthless. And on and on and on. And when you hear those over and over again growing up, you begin to internalize that rejection and make that part of who you are. Now here's the thing. Probably you heard those messages when you were a kid and they were adults, and you thought the adults were right. But I want to tell you that they were wrong. That's not how God sees you. They lied to you. And they were lying to you when they said those messages. You need to go back and erase that tape. You need to stop building your life on what other people say about you and start building your life on what God says to you. You need to start building your identity on how God sees you and let His voice be the primary voice. And God says that He made you, He formed you, He created you, He loves you, He accepts you, and that you belong. I grew up thinking that if I could just be perfect, then certain people would love me. If I can just get it all right, then certain people would love me. And you know what? I found that's a lie. You know, you could be perfect and certain people still won't love you. You can have it all together and certain people will just never, never like you. Look at Jesus. He was perfect. He was perfect. And he had so many people hate him. So many people rejecting him. At some point, you're going to say, you know, no matter what I do, I will never get everyone's approval. But I do have God's approval. And that's what's going to free me up. I don't like saying this, but I want to say there might be certain people that you've been longing for their approval. And that you. I just want to say that you will never get it. And it's not about you. It's about them. So let it go. Hear God's voice. Know who you are in God's sight. It's not your problem. It's their problem. But there's even better news. You know what? To be who God created you to be, you don't need their approval. You don't need to depend on it. You can go on and go forward because you know that God is behind you and that He loves you and He created you. What you need to do is stop listening to them and listen to what God says. God wants to reshape your heart. So my prayer for you is that you will let God heal your heart, shape your heart, release your heart, that you will be who God intended you to be, that you will be freed to pursue your passions. The Bible says this in Colossians 3. Whatever you do, I don't care what that means, at work, at home, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. You know, you guys have a job right now. It might be in the workplace or at home, but you're not doing it for you if you're following God. You're doing it for God. Whatever you do, He wants you to do for Him. So the question is, how do I follow my heart? How do I know what my passions are? How do I know where God wants me to serve? Well, you do five things. Let's go through those five things. The first is this. You open it up to Jesus. Open your heart to Jesus. Nobody can change your heart like Jesus. I don't care what you've been through. If you want healing, you need to open your life to Jesus. God gave you a heart. He gave you passions and dreams, and they came from God. God put those in your heart. But this is what's really important. Unless you have Jesus in your heart, you will misuse those passions He's given you, and use them for purposes that he doesn't want you to use them for. Everyone has a passion. Everyone has desires. But when you don't have Jesus in your life, what ends up happening is you end up using those for purposes that aren't really his. So if you want to use your life and your heart for him, you've got to open your heart up to him in the first place. I've heard someone in the past come up to me and say, "Pastor John, I'm just not passionate about anything right now." And you know what that means? That means you probably aren't very close to God right now. I don't mean to say that in a harsh way, but the reality is when you get close to God, when you open your heart to God, there's no way not to have passion. You know the word enthusiasm? Enthusiasm? In the middle of that word, thus, is actually from the Greek or from the Latin, and it means, it's the word theos, which means God. So when you hear the word theology, it means the study of God. The word, I think, the name Theodore, Theodore actually means lover of God or something along those lines. The word enthusiasm, in the middle of it is theos, because people who are around God and have worked through their hardest with God are just enthusiastic, passionate people. And so you want to open up your heart to God so that you can be freed. When you hang around God, that happens. You want to hang around him and be passionate. The Bible says, "Listen, I am standing at the heart, at your heart, and knocking at your door. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will eat together. We'll have fun together. We'll fellowship together. We'll build a relationship." So Jesus Christ is saying, "I'm here knocking on your door. Let me in. I'm not going to force my way in, but if you want to be unleashed, if you want to live in your passions, open your heart to me." And if you do that, the second thing you want to do is you want to let God heal your heart. Let God heal it. Let God heal it. All of us, in some ways, our hearts have been broken. At some point in our lives, something has happened. Some type of disappointment, some type of fear, some type of crisis has happened. I love that when Jesus was walking this earth, Mary and Martha came up to him and they were crying. They said, "Our brother Lazarus is dead." And they were totally wounded by it. And the Bible says that Jesus cried too. That when our hearts are wounded, Jesus isn't stepping far away, but he's next to us. And he's mourning with us. He feels it with us. And he wants to heal your heart. Psalm 34 says this, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." How does he do that? He gives you a heart transplant. He heals it. He heals it. I grew up in a family. My family immigrated from Egypt, and my dad was very poor in Egypt. And when they came to the States, they had this big fear that their kids would be poor. My dad had a really hard upbringing, and one of his number one fears that his kids would not have the life he had. And so his big thing was, "I want you to succeed." And he had that for all the kids. Now, I was the oldest kid. So how that came up is he just wanted me to do good at everything because he wanted me to succeed. I was the student who got the A minus, and my dad would say, "How come it wasn't an A?" You know, I was a kid who did really well in sports, but I was never number one. And so how come it? Now, my dad, you guys have met my dad. He loves me to death. And all that came out of a deep fear of me not succeeding because he didn't want me to have the same life. But I had this thing, you know, years after years, you begin to internalize that and think, "I can never be loved or accepted unless I'm perfect and I have it all together." And now, my dad didn't mean for that to happen, but that's what happened. And I remember I was at a Christian conference. I went up to get prayer. And I knew this thing that I can never feel like God loves me because he's always far away telling me I'm not good enough. That was my picture of God. And I prayed with someone. And this lady prayed with me. She's like, "John, I don't know why, but I get this sense that God wants me to say this to you." And she quoted a verse in the Bible. She said, "This is what God wants to say." And he says this, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, I'm not a crier. I don't cry that much. But something unleashed in me, man. I just want to say, boom, it all came out. I think I just need to hear that from God. And God began to heal my heart. We need to meet God. We need to meet God. That's why we have prayer after church every Sunday. That's why we ask for your prayer requests. That's why we pray for you on Thursdays at our prayer meeting. There's something about meeting God and getting healed through prayer. And if you know that you have some injuries in your heart, if you know that you've carried some messages that are not from God, stop trying to fix those on your own. God wants to heal those. Ask for help. Ask for prayer. When you're in growth groups, ask people for prayer. Say, "I need help here." And let them pray for you. Because God wants to heal your heart. What I've learned is that you have no idea how much God loves you. I don't even know. I keep learning more and more. It keeps growing. And he wants to heal you and unleash you so you can live out the passions that he has for you. Number three is this. Listen to it. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. One of our problems, especially society today, is we have so much going on between work and school and family and life that we just never stop and listen to our heart and ask, God, what have you given me a passion for? We're in so much of a hurry, we're so busy, that we just never stop and say, God, what is it that you've given me a passion for? God wants you to listen to your heart. He wants you to find out what you were made to do. Romans 12:3 says this, be honest in your estimate of yourselves. In other words, figure out who you are. Figure out how God has wired you. Now, I have an assignment for you guys. In your notes, if you look at your notes, your message notes, if you turn to the back page there, you'll see there's extra sheets this week. What you have attached to your notes is an exercise called Following Your Heart. And there are some questions in there that will help you just take time out to stop and say, God, what have you given me a passion for? What are my interests? What are my passions? And here's what I want you to do. This exercise, I need to warn you, will probably take an hour, if maybe even 2 hours. It's a long exercise. Now, I know how we work. If I don't tell you to stop and do this, you probably won't do it. So this is what I want you to do. In your minds, in your calendar, I want you to carve out an hour or two today, tomorrow, or Tuesday to go through this. And I say that because I know if I don't say that, you guys are going to go, oh, great idea, I want to do this, and then totally forget about it. It's Memorial Day weekend, you know, all kinds of things are going on, but I want you to take time to listen to your heart. And here's some exercises that will help you do that, just to stop and think, God, how have you wired me? So take this home with you, figure out when you're going to do this, think through your week right now and say, when am I going to spend an hour or two to go through this? And when you go through this, you can take your shape profile. Now, if you weren't here last week, you didn't get this. We have some on the back table for you. But you have this thing called shape. And last week, we focused on our spiritual gifts. This week, we're going to focus on our heart. And after you go through these exercises in your notes, you can fill out the portion that says heart. And you'll be able to fill this out. And what you're going to do is each week, you're going to fill out a part of this. And our last week, we're going to fill this out. We're going to turn these in and figure out how has God wired you, how has he shaped you to serve in the church. But my assignment for you today is take time to listen to your heart, to stop and say, God, how have you wired me? What is my heart excited about? I'll tell you why this is important. There are certain things that you can do to bless other people because you're passionate about them. You'll never know to do them unless you take time to listen to them. There's a lady in a church I used to go to, and she discovered that she has a heart. She has a passion for people who have lost loved ones. She had no idea until she stopped, and she just listened to her heart, listened to how God, and she said, I have a real passion for people who have lost loved ones. So she started this ministry in her church. That when there's someone that has lost a loved one, she has timed it, so she sends them a grief book. Then 3 months later, she has it all planned her calendar, she sends them part two of that grief book. 3 months later, she sends part three, and she has 4 parts. So through a whole year, she tracks people in her church, helping them grieve. Now, we were only in this church for a few months, and a friend of ours lost her husband. It wasn't even us. She heard about this, and she started putting us on her mail list so that we can give those materials to our friend. That's passion, right? When you do that on your own. But she would have had no idea that that's what God was calling her to unless she just stopped and said, God, what have you given me a passion for? So I want you guys to take time out to ask, God, how have you shaped me? So take some time and go through those exercises. Sound good? Are you guys going to do it? How many of you guys are going to do this? All right, look around, turn around, okay? These people are saying they're going to do it. I give you permission to ask the people around you, did you do it? Okay, because next week we're going to do that. Instead of welcoming and greeting each other, we're just going to go around and go, did you do it? Yeah. So take some time out to spend some time doing that. Okay, number four is this. Look at my options. You want to find out all you can about what might interest you, but you want to be careful. You don't want to just go, hey, I'm interested, I'm going to go do this, because sometimes we get really excited and we start doing something and realize, oh, whoops, made a mistake there. So for instance, if you figure out I love food, it may not be smart to go start a restaurant. How many of you have ever started a business before? Yeah, takes a lot of work, right? Do you know that 95% of business startups die within 5 years? Starting business. So when you have a passion, you want to just check things out for a while. You want to do your research. You want to make sure you're not just jumping into things. You want to try things out. You know, my wife and I were just trying to figure out, hey, do we start a church or not? We had never started a church before. We knew nothing about it. But what I did is I went online, because I'm kind of a tech guru, and I just bought all the books I could find about starting a church. And I read them like anything. And Becky told me, I don't know if God's calling you to do this, but you certainly have the heart for it. Because I would just consume anything about starting a church. Then I started meeting with people who started up churches. And then I started, you know, meeting with pastors. I started getting training. I started getting a mentor. I did all these things before I even started a church because I didn't want to just say, hey, should I go do this? Yeah, let's go do this. Let's go move. It makes sense to do your research first, right? It makes sense to do your homework first. So before you jump into things, you want to look at your options and check things out. Now, over the week, what I did, here's another piece of paper for you guys. Again, this is a paper week. Pull out your orange sheets in your bulletin. I made a list of all the kinds of ministry opportunities we have here at Edgewater, and I know I left some out because I just started thinking, man, when you get a chance, read through these and just hold on to these next few weeks because these are things that are going on in our church right now. And as you discover your heart and passion, you may think, oh, I might be really drawn to this. I want to check this out. Now, your goal isn't to sign up for life. Your goal is to check these things out. If you turn your shape profile in, we'll connect you with the right person. You can say, hey, can I try this out for a few weeks? I want to see if this is for me. If it's not, no problem. You go and check something else out. The point is you want to look at your options and check things out to make sure that's for you. Proverbs 19 says, desire without knowledge is not good. In other words, you don't want to just have this desire and not do your research. But one who moves too hurriedly misses the way. So you want to do your research. You want to check things out. Experiment. Now that I've lost your attention because you're all looking at the orange sheets, let me go to the last point. The last point is this. Launch out in faith. Launch out in faith. I just want to tell you this. If you get a sense that God's calling you to something, there's going to be a fear factor involved. You're going to think, oh, can I really do this? Oh, the risks are too hard. But what I want to say is what God wants you to do is to launch out in faith. When you follow God in faith, it's like being on a, is it a trap? I always get the word, the trapeze. Is the trapeze, is that what you swing on and grab someone else? And the trampoline's the thing you jump on. Okay, I always get, so trapeze. You know, there's something about the trapeze that when you're on a trapeze, which I have no experience with this, but when you're on a trapeze and you're swinging and you have to grab the other trapeze, there's a point where you need to let go and hold on. And that's the scariest part because there's a split second where you're not holding on to anything. Right? You're just in the middle. And that's a lot like living in faith. There's that point where you say, God, I think you're calling me to this, and I'm going to go for it. But there's that fear factor of, but I'm letting go. But if you really want to experience what God has for you, there's that point where you just need to go for it. You need to go for it. Psalm 37 says this, take delight in the Lord, which means enjoy him. Put him first. God said, God, you're number one. All my joy comes from you. And then it says, and he will give you, and here's a promise, he will give you your heart's desires. Love God. Pursue him. Take delight in him. And he will give you your heart's desires. That's a promise. God did not put you here just to take up space. He did not put you here just to breathe oxygen. He put you here for a purpose. And he wants you to launch out in faith and do what you were created to do. Do what you were passionate to do. You can get all kinds of things in this life. You can get wealth. You can buy a home. You can buy homes. You can get PhDs and all kinds of education. But nothing beats knowing God and living out his purpose for you. You don't need money to do that. You'll do it for free. Because it's that enjoyable. It's that enjoyable. I love what the Bible says in your outline. It says, you, Lord, have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and wine. In other words, God, I'd rather have you than anything else. Let's bow our heads for prayer. As you're bowing your heads, you know, you may be thinking through, you know, what are the heart stoppers that stop you from following your heart? Is it disappointment, fear, guilt, resentment, hurt, rejection? Jesus Christ wants to free up your heart today. Jesus says, I came to give you life, life abundantly. And so let's pray that prayer. Dear Jesus, I open up my heart 100% to you today. God, I don't want to give you just a part of my heart, but all of it. You made it. You know what's in it. And I want to live for you. So God, I ask that you would unclog my heart. You know it's been bruised and beaten, but I don't want to live in the past. I want to live in the future. Help me listen to my heart, God. Help me discover what you made me to love. Help me look at all my options and be wise. And God, I pray that you would help me launch out in faith to do what you want me to do and trust you. God, today I say that my heart is yours. I want to serve you. And I want to do that with the rest of my life. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.